This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Brent and Dave from the Capital Auto Group Studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome to Friday.
It is Friday. Welcome, folks. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Morning. You're listening to Newsmakers. Thanks for joining us. We have a fun hour, I think. We're going to go a little bit off our usual formula today to start the first ever of segment of Brent Saves the World.
I thought we were trying to do that every day.
Yeah. we're mostly focused on local things here in Marion and Polk County, and there is some news having to do with the state and the state economy. I attended the SEDCOR Economic Forum on Wednesday with 400 of my close friends.
Ooh.
Yeah, big gathering, a lot of people listening to Tim Dewey and a number of others talk, and we'll get to that probably in the second segment. And, of course, we're going to have the owner of the Volcanoes in here.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking about that on the way into the studio today, that we have this marriage between this institution. We have professional sports in Salem Kaiser.
Yes, we do.
You know what? And we should not take that for granted, and that's pretty cool. And
yes.
I think maybe it's time that it actually seems like it, that this is the season with where we're going to renew our vows, right?
Right.
Again, in a sense, that we've got this marriage of professional sports here in Salem, and Jerry brought it to us, and it's time to reignite. And I think that's the whole theme of the year. Anyway, we'll talk about that later.
Well,
right now,
like their theme right here, discover the wonder all over again.
The wonder all over again. That sounds like a Disney thing, doesn't it?
It does sound like that, but to hear Jerry talk this morning at the Salem Greeters at the Volcano Stadium this morning, yeah, he's excited.
Cool.
And I can't wait to talk to him about it.
All right. So the topic, one of the topics that goes through my head is how dysfunctional our two-party system is in the nation.
Does that run through your head every day?
Pretty much every day.
Okay.
And reading an article today about how little the U.S. Senate has done this year. And some things, they seem futile because they're going to send it to a democratically held House. And, of course, they've been focusing on getting some judicial appointees from the Trump administration approved.
Okay.
But there are solutions for America, things that ail us, and it's just going to take Brent to figure it out. Okay?
All right.
It's part of my unwritten book. I like to title, It's Not That Hard.
Okay. Good title, too.
All right. So let's fix Medicare and Social Security, shall we?
Okay.
Let's just fix it. On another episode of Brent Saves the World, we'll solve the immigration issue.
I can't wait to hear that
also
one, too.
Also, another chapter in It's Not That Hard. All right. The problem here is that we don't have any statesmen left anymore.
Right.
And we don't have people that will work with people who disagree with them. They want to call them names. They want to disparage their character. They want to win. They want to win because that's more important than the nation. And that's really, really troublesome when you're dealing with the petulant politicians that are purporting to take care of us.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so let's solve Social Security, Medicare. Right? It's not that hard. The problem is they're going to run out of money, right?
Okay.
So Social Security Trust Fund will run out of money even if it collects all of the IOUs from the politicians who have been raiding it since 1970.
Wow.
Which, of course, when Social Security was put into place, it was never supposed to be used. It was guaranteed not to be used to support the U.S. government, right? But they've been, and essentially giving the trust fund IOUs. But as soon as we can cash in all the IOUs, Social Security is going to run out of money. Medicare is going to run out of money, and they won't be able to handle all the baby boomers and what have you. So what do we have to do to fix it? The problem is what we have to do, nobody will like.
Mm.
The solution is easy, people. It's easy. Let's talk about what goes into Social Security and Medicare. Medicare, 1.45%. Payroll taxes, right?
Right.
Social Security, 6.2%. You pay it, your employer pays it. Everybody in the nation pays it. You get paid, you're contributing to Medicare and Social Security fund. So, but what goes into whether or not it has enough money or not? All right, there's a defined list.
Okay.
I mean, it's the mortality charts. How long are you going to live?
Okay.
When are you going to die? right? The mortality charts can be adjusted. How much do they anticipate? And that has a lot to do with, you know, determining benefits. It has a lot to do with a lot of things, like when you have an annuity, how much money you get, when you have a life insurance. All these mortality charts exist, and they can be adjusted over time depending on our society's projected lifetime, right?
Okay.
The benefit levels. Well, you don't want to touch the benefit levels because you don't want to take grandma's money away.
No.
Right? But benefit levels are going to have to be adjusted. And by benefit levels, I mean predicted increases in benefit levels. So the Democrats will scream that that's a cut, and the Republicans will say, no, it's simply a reduction in the projected benefits to be paid.
Cost of living.
Okay. Scheduled increases kind of correspond there, the same thing.
Right.
If we're already scheduling to increase by a certain amount, that has to move. These have to move. And you're not going to, folks, you're not going to like these answers. Like I said, nobody's going to like it. The right's not going to like it, and the left's not going to like it, but it is an easy fix. The retirement age, and they have adjusted this.
A couple of times,
so now,
right?
You know, I'm 67. My full Social Security retirement age is 67, and so is just pretty much everybody born after 1960, right?
Okay.
Doesn't mean it's never going to change again.
Right. Right.
With our lifespans and how long people are staying healthy and working and staying in the workforce, maybe it needs to be 67 and a half. Maybe it needs to be 68. I don't know. But it's going to have to move. Right now, an income test, we don't have it. It's been proposed in the past. Typically, the right doesn't like it. So if you're Bill Gates, should you get a Social Security check? There's a philosophical question for you, right? If you're Bill Gates, if you're Warren Buffett, should you get a Social Security check?
They paid into it.
Yes, but it's not an account. It's not their account. All they did is pay taxes.
Right, but they contributed to Social Security.
Yes.
And Medicare.
Yep.
So they're entitled to it.
If you say so.
Everybody pays into it, right?
Yes.
Okay. Then everybody gets back.
Well, should they? That's the philosophical question.
Yes. If okay. if you pay into it, you should get it.
There are many, many. Well, you also pay into the unemployment fund. You also pay into welfare. You also, and you don't get a result from that. You're just paying your taxes for some of the things that the government does. So you're saying, well, we paid for this specific thing, and I want that specific thing. But I will tell you, there are scores and scores of things that you are paying into that you do not benefit from, for the betterment of society, because you're paying for the road maintenance on, you know, First Street, even if you don't drive on First Street. See what I'm saying?
Yeah, but they still take care of my road too.
Yep. Yes, they do.
Okay. All the other roads that I drive on.
All right. Let's stick with keep the focus.
Okay.
Income test.
I'm not the one who went off the rail.
I'm telling you, I think there needs to be an income test.
There needs to be an income test.
Yeah. If you make $5 million a year.
Okay.
I don't care. You know, all these things will be argued what the right level is. It doesn't really matter. But I think a lot of Americans will say, hey, you know, you're 67 and you're pulling in $5 million a year. You know, you don't need a Social Security check. And that is a social buffer. It's not for the wealthy. There's an argument to be made.
Okay, I can kind of see that.
How many qualifying years you need to work before you are eligible for Social Security? The test is not very high.
How many years?
It's done in quarters, and I can't throw it off the top of my head. But it's small. It's only a few years of qualifying employment.
I thought it was like 30.
And then the level of income that's taxed. Right now, Social Security is only taxed until you make $132,900.
Then what?
Then you're not taxed.
What?
Yeah.
That makes no sense.
Yeah. Only the first. I mean, talk about regressive. So the more you make, the smaller percentage of your income you're paying into Social Security, right? So if you make twice that, you're only paying half of what everyone else is paying.
So they think that maybe you're taking that extra money that you're making and putting into your own retirement. That's what their philosophical air quotes is.
Maybe.
Okay.
Maybe so.
All right.
Yeah. Or because there's a maximum in Social Security benefit, and beyond that, you know, you're contributing enough to qualify for the maximum, and so you don't need to contribute anymore. But anyway, it has raised over the years. It does raise, but it maybe needs to be raised. So all of these things can be adjusted. All those numbers can be tweaked, and people can go into a room and argue about them. The D's, the R's, the L's, the I's, the C's, all of them can go into a room and argue about them, and everybody will hate the outcome except Well, they hate something about it, except that it's going to save Medicare and Social Security. The level of income that's taxed can go above $132,900.
Right.
How many years you can qualify? You need to qualify for benefits can be increased. Very, very wealthy people, maybe they don't get a Social Security check. Retirement ages can slide with our mortality rates. Those things are very connected. What retirement age we get of full benefits, how much our schedule increase, and how much we're paying out to retirees. All of those things can be adjusted. It's a formula. You just go in and you can hash it out like sausage, like they make laws, like they used to make laws, where Democrats and Republicans went in a room and they hashed it out and they all argued about their priorities and which solution is worse or better. That fixes it. Fixes it. I mean, I don't care. I mean, I'm telling you which one of these has to move how much. I'm not going to do the math. That's for policy wonks that went to Yale, you know, to handle in Washington.
Right.
They can all hammer those out with economists and...
same people that write the tax codes.
Yeah, with the same people that write the tax codes. All right. So that, folks, we're running late. But you know what? It's a simple solution. Those are the things that go into the formula on whether or not it's going to survive or not. Move them all. Move them all. Plug your nose. You know, that's, again, we're talking about leadership. Somebody stand up and tell the nation, you're not going to like it, but this is the solution. No one's going to like it. And you know what, like even less is people in their 30s thinking it won't be there for them. People
right.
in their 30s who think they're going to pay into it for 35 years and they won't even get a check.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Let's make sure it's viable. That's not a hard task. Let's make sure it's viable. The problem is, well, we're never going to cut rates on one side, and well, we're never going to do this on the other. And that's why we can't get anything done.
That's
we
true.
Need a statesman, and we need some pragmatic leadership to show us the way. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back and talk about the economy in Oregon. But thanks for sticking with us and indulging me here. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem's listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is brought to you by Hamblin's Nursery.
Welcome back, folks. This is Brent DeHart. Finish up on the comments before the break. There's lots of projections on when Social Security and Medicare will run out of reserves. Medicare Part A, some predict or have predicted that it could run out of reserves as early as 2026. Now, mind you, reserves is different than having ongoing taxes, but do you have enough money? And are there more people retiring and getting older? Yes, there are. And in Social Security, they may run out of their reserves by 2034. That doesn't mean to say that it'll go completely broke, because according to AARP, in an article in the AARP newsletter, which they're not, you know, they're not my favorite people, favorite organization, but they'd still be able to pay out like 79% of the benefits that, and so it's not like it would go to zero in just 15 short years, right? Anyway, but that's the point is, if you can adjust all of these things a little bit, maybe it is solvent. It doesn't go in down the route of PERS and unfunded liability, and it's perpetual for eternity. All right, let's talk about the economic forum we had in Salem this week, put on by SEDCOR, the Strategic Economic Development Corporation. Their job is to do economic development in 3-county area. And they put on a great show. I mean, it was quite an audience. A lot of people there I've never seen before, drawn to our beautiful conference center. Tim Dewey was the keynote speaker. He's an economist from University of Oregon. Pretty good lineup of individuals representing different things. PERS reform, the state treasurer was there, and so on and so forth. And we'll get to that. So what's the news on the Oregon economy? What is the news? Because between how long this expansion has lasted and what are going to be the effects of taxing everybody all the time,
right.
What's going to happen to Oregon's economy? How long will this last? According to Tim Dewey, we're now at the end of June, we would have set a record of a 10-year expansion. If we make, obviously we're not, I think we're going to go into recession in the next 30 days, but assuming we don't go to recession in the next 30 days, this will be a 10-year continuous expansion of the Oregon economy.
That's why people are moving here.
Actually, I think he was talking about the U.S. economy.
Oh, U.S. economy.
So that's great, and it's why everyone's asking a question. Well, when's the recession coming? When's the recession coming? Right. Some of those things are self-fulfilling prophecies. Some of those things are, oh, we need to cut back because we know there's going to be a recession. And the guy behind me muttered what I was thinking. I like that. He said, some companies in the U.S. are already scaling back expenses, cutting costs in anticipation, and, you know, shrinking workforces in anticipation of the upcoming recession. The guy behind me goes, that's a recipe to have a recession.
Yeah, right.
Start cutting costs, start cutting a personnel, and it's like self-fulfilling. We talked about this one time on Newsmakers about a bank that's changing its policies on lending, and they're tightening up their lending because they anticipate a recession. Well, that's how you get a recession, folks, is you don't let small businesses grow.
Pretty much. Like, yeah.
And there's no economic indicators, really, that we're going to have a recession. And that is...
No, it's just the mindset of people saying every 10 years we have one.
Right.
So they create it.
So, according to Tim Dewey, he really doesn't see the economic indicators as saying we're going to have one. I mean, the employment rates, the unemployment, new starts, new orders, all these things, all those pretty little graphs that economists geek over, he doesn't see it. So He looks as though the Oregon economy might shrink, not shrink, but slow its rate of growth. Okay.
But that's okay as long as it doesn't go down.
Yes. And he said, you know, in the U.S., if we slow down to a 2% economy growth for a mature economy, that's a very sustainable and healthy growth.
Sure.
Right? It doesn't have to be double digits to be a healthy economy.
Now, that's where we cause a crash.
Yeah. Then we can have, we can crash like Venezuela.
Right. No, cause a recession.
So job growth is slow, but again, our expansion is mature. Mm-hmm. I mean, people have been hired. The job growth is slow because there's not that many people out there that are that people can hire. So that was interesting. There's fewer new workers coming into the workforce, right? The labor is tight, and we all know that.
Mm-hmm.
But the bottom line was no sign of recession yet.
Good.
No sign. He's funny because he says he wants something more interesting to talk about. I mean, if he just had a good recession, you know what I mean?
Oh, my
goodness.
If he had
a good recession, he could... go pour over all of these things, but there's fear of it, but there's no signs of it. It's interesting. So we're living in a time where we have sustainable growth, low interest rates, and low unemployment. Times are good, folks.
They are.
It's
Can't
a good
beat
lesson.
That.
No. All right. Then we heard from Tobias Reed. Again, we're talking about the SEDCOR Economic Forum, and so we got the Oregon Treasurer showed up.
Oh, wow.
And... I don't know. I kind of felt like he was trying to paint a picture of Kate Brown's administration. You know, he didn't seem overly partisan. He's a former lawmaker. But he painted a pretty picture. He said that Oregon has the best in the nation return, investment term. By the way, the treasurer's job is to, you know, invest Oregon's assets and so forth and get a return, including the PERS fund. He doesn't have anything to do with policy, folks. He was like, don't write me and say, ask me about policy. He doesn't do that. He does the investment.
Okay.
According to Tobias Reed, the returns, Oregon is leading either first or second in the nation in return for the state's investments in the 1-year mark, in the 3-year mark, in the 5-year mark, 10-year mark, 20-year mark, all of them. He's amongst his peers, they're winning in first or second place. That's impressive.
That's good, but how come it's not fixing the PERS?
Well, that's completely different because he'd have to invest in something else to catch up on PERS.
Well, that's his job, right?
Yeah. So the state debt, he talked about the state debt. It's not rising. They're overall when they're bonding things.
Not when they're raising $1 billion taxes a year.
Yeah, why would they have to? They do bond a lot of things. They bond transportation projects and so forth. And oddly enough, this is where we get addicted to the sin, is they've taken Oregon Lottery revenues and bonded against them. If that makes any sense, folks.
Yes.
So what that means is they go to the market, they go to the bank and say, hey, we want to borrow to replace, 500 bridges or whatever. And by the way, we'll pay you back out of these Oregon lottery funds. And that's how the state gets addicted to the gambling revenue.
Hence, they're gambling.
Yeah. And so now the state has to be in the business of promoting people going out to gamble so that they can pay off their bonds. Anyway, so he says that, you know, they're below the national median when it comes to other states as far as the state's balance sheet. So compared to other states, you know, the debt looks pretty good. They tend to pay things off before they go into new debt. So another thing that was very interesting, he says they have a large carryover balance. So how much at the end of the fiscal year of the state's balance should they carry over into, you know, you have to have a starting balance, right? Going into the next year, you got to make a couple payrolls and have, how much should they have? What would be a good number, you think, Dave?
Couple million?
In percentage of the state.
Oh.
Percentage of the state budget.
3%?
16.4%.
I wish I
carry
had that.
Over balance.
Jeez.
And I look at that, I'm like, well, I like 10. That's pretty healthy. I'm not studying this. So folks, don't take this as like I'm an expert on this, but 16.4 of what, a $20 billion balance or something. Somehow you wonder, if you weren't carrying over that much, would you need all these new taxes?
They shouldn't need them.
Is a very, very healthy carryover balance.
Yeah.
So
enough to fix Spurs.
All right. So he's talking about the state's credit rating. We'll have to continue this on Monday as well.
Tuesday.
That's right. Things that hurt the state's balance. And again, we talk about this when the city or the state, the county, when they issue debt in the bond, and how much do they have to pay to issue those bonds? And it goes down if you're highly rated. If everyone thinks that you're going to pay them back and there's not much risk, you don't have to pay that much interest. So the things that having to do with the state's bond ratings, those are the things that help us.
Right.
You know, the balance sheet looks good. Debt's not rising. The carryover balance good. They keep good reserves. They have the emergency fund, the rainy day fund. All those things help the ratings. What hurts them is Oregon's reliance on the income tax, which he threw that tired and old, well, we need a three-legged stool. We need to tax consumption. We need to tax income. We need to tax property. If we don't have a three-legged stool, then... Anyway,
I've never heard that one before.
They don't? You haven't?
No.
Oh, yes. The Democrats really like that one. We got to tax your property. We got to tax your income. We got to tax your consumption, meaning sales. Because we need all three of those to have good stability in government, you know, incomes, right? And he says, well, because of property tax reform in the 90s, that cut that in half. So we really only have 1.5 legs of our three-legged stool. Wah. Yeah, that's what I heard from the back. reliance of income tax hurts us in the bounding markets. Citizen initiative process, which that throws a question mark in some things, including this $2 billion tax hike and the existence of the kicker. And those are the three things that the bonding markets don't like that much.
Okay.
All right, we're going to take a break because we're going to come back and we're going to talk to the owner of the Salem Kaiser
about
Volcanoes.
10 minutes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
We can
keep talking about this?
Yes, you can.
I hope I'm not putting you to sleep with the economic thing, because these people, I hope I'm more interesting than they were. I mean, I love, you know, economics and this and that, but it was a little dry. But Per Solutions. We had Per Solutions and a person from the Department of Education talking about the cost of PERS and benefits
okay. And
compared to other states. Stay with us. My name is Brent DeHart. This is Dave Bourne. You're listening to Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN. Salem's listening.
Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, presented by Les Schwab Tires, continues in the Capital Auto Group studios. Here's Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Color Tile of Salem and Sylvan Learning Center.
And welcome back, folks. Thanks for being here with us. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne. We're talking about the Oregon economy here just for a few more minutes. And, you know, we're going to send you off with a little information before you go on the holiday weekend.
Make your head spin with numbers.
I have a natural gas grill.
Yeah.
It's got a natural gas grill, and it's... So you don't have to do that 5-gallon propane thing. You can't be in the middle of doing your steaks and your salmon and then
run out.
I'm out of propane. I got to run out of that. So it's plumbed, and this weekend will be the first time that I'm going to use it on my brand new deck.
So if you see a big plume of smoke over there, you'll know it's Brent's deck.
I'm smoking my brisket. Anyway, yeah, I like that. It's just hard plumbed, and you know, I learned that from my father. And I'm looking forward to the Memorial Day weekend, and we honor those and we memorialize those that have helped secure our freedoms. So everybody have a safe and great Memorial Day weekend. Let's finish up, though, about the Oregon economy. You know, we were just saying before the break, Tim Dewey, economist at University of Oregon, says, doesn't see any signs of recession. Folks, they
great
don't see
news.
It.
I mean, great news.
Everybody's looking for good workers. If you have skills and you don't work in America, you pretty much, you might have to, you know, look a little bit, but not very hard. Everyone's looking for workers. So that's great stuff. Brian Reed from the Oregon Department of Education was in this panel. That was interesting in perspective. He was talking about how benefits, the total benefit package for, say, teachers in Oregon is 55% of the cost of their salary. Compared to other states, it's huge. And that includes, you know, their health care and their PERS, of course, and all the benefits that come with the package. But that's 55%. And that's the disconnect that people don't see, why it's so expensive. And we talk about putting teachers in classrooms and more teachers, and then there's the salary, but then this benefit is arguably out of scale against the competition.
Right? Yeah.
So, and the PERS rates, his other point is the PERS rates. We're talking about PERS, but since 1990, how much school districts have had to pay into PERS has tripled in 19 years.
Mm-hmm. Tripled.
So the school districts and the Department of Education, you know, they have reason to be unhappy about that, right?
Yeah.
Tripled. They're not doing the same amount of income. All right. And then one more person, Tim Nesbitt, who's part of the PERS Solutions effort. How much are people putting in just a PERS? And just a couple of years ago, if your employer, public employer, say the city of Salem as an example, in this area, in our area, it'd be Marion County, City of Salem, the transit district. I don't think transit district is PERS, actually. The school district, 17.5%. So you pay somebody $100,000, you got to put $17,000 into PERS. And that's how that went. So that was what it was just a couple of cycles ago.
And then they pay them 50%, right?
That was... Then
that's how PERS works.
They actually do goal. The system originally was designed to people to retire with a pension that paid 50% of their final salary.
Yeah, but some of them are making more than what they were making when they were working.
There's statistics about that as well, and it's not as bad as we think it is.
They've made adjustments to fix that, but there was a time when PERS employees were getting 105%.
Somewhere
in retirement.
All right, so 17.5%, right, per the person making $100,000. 17. Then now it's 20%. Next year, 25%. You pay somebody $100,000, and this is my. I mean, I'm a math guy, but I don't. This part I don't get. You pay somebody $100,000. You got to put $25,000 into PERS for that that person. So there's $125,000 just for that, right? How long do you have to do that before you've caught up? You're only 8% is supposed to grow by 8%. That's like 25% next year. And here's the kicker. Employees pay zero. Zero. So the recipe, the strategies for reform, according to Tim Nesbitt, you have to reinstate employee cost sharing.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, employees.
Yeah, you have
cost sharing. You got to modify how much they're being accrued, how much those future benefits are being accrued. And you got to rebalance. You got to have to order for a 401k. Type system or a pension, but not both. So
exactly.
There are some more things in there, but there's some highlights of 2.5 hours of listening to people talk about policy and economics.
Please tell me you had a margarita during
that. I did that like 50, Bloody Mary. It was morning. Good. It was morning.
Okay,
so
right.
I had to go slip down to. All right. We're going to take a break because talk about volcanoes with the owner. Jerry Walker is going to join us, and that'll be fun. Stick with us. We're going to send you off with a smile for the weekend. This is Brent with Dave on 1430 KYKN, Salem's Listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Green Acres Landscape. Play ball!
That is enough policy and economic stuff for a Friday before the holiday, isn't it?
Thank God. I need a Bloody Mary a margarita after listening to you.
I thought people should. Yeah, you know, they're all packing up and they're getting ready with their coolers and their tents or wherever they're going. Or they're taking off early to head home. Or they're going to the store to get some steaks.
88% of people are driving to where they're going this weekend. And all the campgrounds are sold out. So if you plan on camping, hope you have a reservation.
We'll be grilling at home.
Me too. I'm staying at home too.
All right, folks. Hey, welcome back. It is Friday before Memorial Day, and we are talking about barbecue, and we're talking about baseball. Today, we have a special treat with Jerry Walker from the Salem Kaiser Volcanoes, the man responsible for bringing professional sports to Salem Kaiser. And we cannot forget that. We have to keep that perspective that there is professional sports, and notwithstanding the roller derby that we have in Salem, because we do have roller derby.
But we do.
How many people in this community have brought professional sports anywhere?
Right?
Right?
It's just no small feat either.
Sitting here with me, Jerry Walker. Welcome to the studio.
Hey, thanks. It's great to be here.
It's nice to have you here again. And I'm getting really excited about the Giants. I'd get more excited if the San Francisco Giants would have a winning record. That would be great. I'm watching them. But they'll do it before the All-Star break.
Sure.
We've had our good years.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, we have. And as a person who started rooting for the Giants in 1970, we went through the 70s in the 80s, the one year they go to the World Series, I was out of the country and I missed the whole earthquake and the Bay Series and what have you.
1989.
So, first of all, are you excited about the season? And what about this Mitch guy? Mitch is, of course, sitting right here, so we can talk about him.
Yeah, we can talk smack about him.
Mitch, new operations guy, and he's got more energy than I have ever had. It's kind of fun to watch.
He certainly does, and as far as excitement level, I think that this is the most excitement and anticipation we've had since we opened in 1997. So there's a lot of buzz through the community about what's about to happen, and we're 3 weeks from today is opening day.
So wow.
It'll be here before we know it.
Oh, we got to get Mitch to give away some more tickets.
Yeah. So absolutely.
He's been giving away some opening day tickets. I don't know if he cleared it with you. But
that must be why the ballpark's going to be full, huh?
So what's
any way you can do it, Mitch.
So just give them all away.
We were talking for baseball fans and Giants fans, especially like myself, and the community seems a little bit split, and some are Seattle Mariner fans and some are Giants fans in this region of the country. But one thing that astounds me is how many people that go to the MLB came through your ballpark.
Yeah, I mean, it's a phenomenal number. This is going to be our 23rd season, and during the course of that time, we've had 107 players that started playing their careers at Volcano Stadium that played in the big leagues.
So, wow, 107.
Yeah. So that's an average of about 5 a year that's going to make it. I mean, you can't really count the last few years. It takes a few years to go through the system.
Right.
But in our first 20 seasons, we had 101. So,
all right. So for the youth out there and people who are still thinking like a youth out there, should we be collecting Volcano trading cards?
You know, absolutely.
Should we have, like, there's a Tim Lincecum Volcano card out there that's worth anything?
There's Tim Lincecum. There's Pablo Sandoval. There's Sergio Romo. There's Brandon Crawford. I mean, the list goes on and on.
Wow.
Yeah.
So we could save those, and those are even better than having a rookie card.
Well, that's a true rookie card.
Yeah, truly, yeah, right? This is where they started.
First professional baseball card.
All right, one more thing about all those fun guys, those boys of summer, is like the people who are playing the San Francisco Giants right now, on their roster right now, how many played at least an inning out here in Kaiser?
Well, out of the 40-man roster, 21. So
that's
over
unbelievable, folks. Do you can believe that? I mean, half of the San Francisco Giants – you could have seen them before they were making the big bucks and on the big stage at the show.
And let's don't forget Buster Posey.
Let's never forget Buster Posey. I would like to have one of his cards from his entire career. Just
yeah,
a whole
right?
collection
yeah.
of
yeah.
every year. That'd be worth something. Yeah. Well, yeah, he's been pretty amazing. So what's fun about minor league baseball is, one, it's community related, and two, it's different every year. You get a different crop. You don't know who's going to be there. It all depends largely on who gets drafted by the Giants, right?
Absolutely. Almost all of our players will come eventually from the draft, which is June 3rd through the 5th.
June 3rd through the 5th. And they'll draft these people and they'll decide where. And we talked with Mitch a little bit about this last week, but where they're going to play. And they could be finishing up a college season and go right into playing short season single-A ball in Salem Kaiser.
Most of them do. Exactly right. Yeah, we send them to Scottsdale first to our training facility down there for physicals, and sometimes they'll play a few games down there. We have two teams in Arizona. Sometimes they'll play a few games down there and then get sent up to Salem.
By the way, we're on the radio and not on the TV, so I know you guys can't see this, but there seems to be a little bit of metal on your right hand there. And what is that all about?
Oh, my.
Since you're a Giants fan, I'll pass it off to you, but that's the most recent Giants World Series ring. Yeah, don't hurt your back when you pick that up, Brent.
Oh, I'm putting this on, and I'm going to take a picture and post it on Facebook. It's going to drive my son crazy that I'm holding this World Series ring.
That is huge.
The Giants were kind enough to give me three of those, one in 2010, 2012, and 2014. As one of their owners, they awarded me a ring just like the players. That's identical to the Buster's ring, except it says Walker on the side and not Posey.
Wow. Speaking of Walkers, any Walkers out there that might get drafted this year?
Well, geez, you brought up one of my favorite topics. Yeah, you know, we'll see. The Giants have been following our son, Mickey, and he had a phenomenal season at St. Martin's University. I was told by Steve Decker, one of the Giants' longtime coaches, that if Mickey had those same numbers and was playing in the Pac-12 or the Southeast Conference or, you know, one of the major conferences, that he would be first-round draft pick. But he didn't. I mean, he was playing NCAA Division II, playing for a very small college in Lacey, Washington. So, yeah, he has incredible numbers, led the league in a variety of categories. Yesterday or the day before was nominated for the All-American team. He's first-team All-Region. So he has a long list of accomplishments and honors, and I'd be surprised if he doesn't get drafted, and I think the Giants are probably the bet to do that.
So wow. What that?
They've had three different conversations with him, been to a number of his games scouting him, so they've got to be serious.
Okay, so and he's where in school?
He's graduated.
Just graduated.
He just graduated.
Well, so you got nothing to be proud about or anything, right?
Well, one way or the other, he had a phenomenal career, and we're very delighted.
Great college career and a diploma.
And a diploma.
Yeah. All right.
Now, there's only one other player. You might be interested in this. There is a player that once played for McNary High School, that played for Chemehuevin Community College, and also played for the Volcanoes. It's very rare that a local kid would make it through high school, college, and then play for the local team. That was Mark Hells in 1998. So if Mickey happens to be the guy, that'll be 21 years later. And that's about how often it'll happen. It's about every 20 years where a local guy will actually play for his hometown team.
Wow.
So that doesn't happen often.
That's quite the dream.
That's very exciting. Yeah. We're all going to have to watch the draft, and of course we'll hear about it. We're going to hear about it on Newsmakers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, what happens, we'll be watching. There's 40 rounds for the MLB draft. It's huge, the number of players that get drafted and that need to feed the farm system and ultimately the majors is an enormous number of players.
About 1,200 around the country.
Wow. Yeah. All right, so are you having any fun with these Volcanoes?
Well, you know, it's amazing, Brent. This is my 31st year in professional baseball. I know I don't look that old, right?
I know. You must have started when you were 10.
So, my 23rd year in Salem Kaiser. So it's been quite a ride. And those three World Series championships got to be the pinnacle of those years because the Giants were very kind to us, invited us down for the World Series parade. We were actually in the parade. I mean, we weren't on the sidelines watching the parade. We were in the parade.
Wow.
It was almost like we were a celebrity.
Wow.
It was the most phenomenal experience I've ever had.
Wow. Yeah. Did you go to the World Series?
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Man. Yeah. I must not have lived right. That would have been fun.
Yeah.
So, Jerry, known me off and on through the years, and I don't know, he knows how obsessed the DeHarts have been with baseball, with our kids growing up and playing baseball and what have you. And I want you to know I also have a son graduating next week who stopped playing baseball after high school. So what do you do with him for his graduation present? You know what we're going to do? We're going to go watch some baseball.
Absolutely. That's
so
awesome.
For his graduation trip, we're going to hit three major league ballparks in 5 days and catch.
Go ahead. Tell us which three.
We're going to fly into Cincinnati, see the Reds. I started disliking the Reds when they were beating the Giants in the 70s. But that's an incredible franchise.
Their manager is a good friend of ours, David Bell.
Really?
Yeah.
Awesome.
You know
the Reds.
The Bell family.
We're going to see the Reds, and then we're going to turn around and go to Cleveland and catch a little bit of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame while we're there, while we're waiting for the game. And then we're going to go to Pittsburgh.
Oh, awesome.
And so there'll be three cities and driving distance you can hit in less than a week. And, you know, we're both have a goal of hitting all the ballparks. So, I won't be seeing any Volcanoes games that week.
I was going to do that in 1994 and had the trip all planned, and then MLB went on strike that year.
Oh, yeah. Man, 94. that was not good for baseball.
Yeah.
All right, so, but we can't wait. And if I had more money and more time, it's killing me is Philadelphia's in town the same week. So I could go Pittsburgh to Philadelphia and catch four ballparks, and those are four ballparks I have not been to. So it's really fun when you can go somewhere in the nation and catch a ballpark or two, especially if you're on the East Coast, you're in Florida, and you can catch a couple ballparks in one trip. Chicago, you can catch three if you go to Milwaukee. So
they're all close together back there.
That's good stuff. Now, since you're the manager is a friend of yours, so I'll expect you to get some special treatments.
Exactly.
Yeah,
tossed out.
I thought you wanted to coach first base.
No, he wants to sing the national anthem, Jerry.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I've already, you know, Mitch has slotted me in for several dates this summer. I think I'm the designated alternate when the person doesn't show up or they get sick.
Well, you've also helped us out in the press box in the past.
That's right. Yeah. You know, I want to thank you for that. And one of the reasons I know something about Jerry's son is we are friends on Facebook, so I get to see his Prod Papa posts and that's awesome.
Have we worn you out on those yet?
No, absolutely every right to do that. And he posted something. I mean, they needed the last week of the season. Their play-by-play person took another job, and they were out, and they needed eight games filled in. And I'm like, oh, well, I could do this. And so I want you to know you've part of making me insufferable. So I told my wife, because I'm in the I thought I did okay. Went in there and we called, eight games or whatever. But I called play-by-play for professional baseball. So I said to my wife, you know, realize that every barbecue and every cocktail party for the rest of my life, I'm like, well, you know, I called play-by-play for professional baseball. And I want to thank you for that opportunity. So if you're ever strapped again, I can be the emergency fill-in. How about that?
Well, you know, we're changing things up this year. You were the oldest play-by-play guy ever. This year, we're going to bring in the youngest play-by-play.
Ouch! Well, you know, that allowed me to tell stories about the Giants of the 70s during the, you know, beginnings of the inning and the pitching changes. I could tell what it was like to watch the Giants, and just like Al Michaels did. Al Michaels, I've been a fan forever because he was calling those Giants games.
The historical perspective.
Yes, thank you. Yeah. He's calling me old again. Hey. All right, so a couple weeks, 3 weeks from opening day.
3 weeks
right?
from today.
As a community, we're going to come out. We're going to renew our vows with the Volcanoes and come back and have a party, people. We're going to have a community party every home stand. Sound good?
Absolutely.
Jerry, I want to thank you for coming to the studio.
Yeah.
I want to thank you for hiring Mitch and his energy and bringing new ideas into the house and being willing to let him run.
Yep, and, he's running.
Let's go sell some tickets. Hey, folks, you have a safe and great holiday weekend. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Morin. You're listening to Newsmakers.
We'll see you on Tuesday.
This has been Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live local talk that matters to you from the Capital Auto Group studios exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.